Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today at St. Mark's, and Happy New Year to all of you. Today is the 11th day of the 12 days of Christmas, and we close our church's Christmas celebration by observing Epiphany, the visit of the Magi from the East to the boy Jesus after he was at least a few months old, a visit that God directed by that miraculous star that he put in the sky. And a visit that tells to the entire world that Jesus is not just a savior for one group of people or one nation or one race or one segment of our world, but a visit that tells us that Jesus is the savior of all. That is the emphasis and focus of worship on this Epiphany Sunday. After we sing the opening hymn, please follow the order of worship that begins on page 4 in the service booklet you received as you entered the church this morning. Come, let us worship the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. By the leading of a star, you once made known to the nations your one and only Son. Guide us also, who know him now by faith, to come at last to the perfect joy of your heavenly glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The light of God's glory will be revealed to all nations, according to our first lesson from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you.
See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Please join with the cantor to sing the psalm for Epiphany, Psalm 72, following the instructions on page 7. Testament, the Apostle Paul reveals the same truth that we heard in our Old Testament first lesson, namely that the gospel of Christmas is for all nations, a reading from Ephesians in chapter 3. Paul writes, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace, that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power, although I am less than the least of all God's people. This grace was given me, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifest wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please follow the instructions for singing the hymn of the day indicated on the bottom of page 9 in the service booklet. As I drove around the neighborhood last week, the trees were already along the curb. I didn't keep actual statistics, but I'm pretty sure that as I drove around the neighborhood at night, the number of homes that were decked out in lights and decorations last week were fewer than the week before, and you'll be lucky to find anybody this week. I'm not much for listening to music on the radio, but I'm pretty sure that the Christmas programming went away last week and the regular music and programming returned. All signs are that Christmas has come and gone. It might be the 11th day of Christmas today, but everything around us, except for the decorations in church, tell us that the Christmas season has come to a close. Well, we're not quite done. We're not quite done with Christmas. There are, truthfully, so many truths and facts that we could learn from the Christmas accounts in Scripture that we could have had a service every day of the 12 days of Christmas and not run out of things to talk about. I'm not suggesting that we do that, by the way. But there certainly would be enough to talk about for the 12 days of Christmas. On Christmas Eve, we celebrated the simple, straightforward biblical facts that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem's manger on Christmas. And then we returned on Christmas Day and we kind of marveled and basked in this great, profound mystery that in Jesus you have someone who is 100% God and 100% man combined fully into one person. And then we came back again last Sunday and we talked about the Holy Innocents, how King Herod, in his attempt to kill the boy Jesus, killed all of those little boys in Bethlehem who were 2 years old and younger. And we learned from that account that even the little boy Jesus born at Christmas still brings opposition into our world. And now today we wrap up Christmas by celebrating Epiphany. Epiphany is traditionally observed on January 6th. For practical reasons, when it doesn't land on a Sunday, we tend to celebrate it the Sunday before the 6th, which is why we're celebrating Epiphany today. This is the visit of the Magi from the East, who traveled all sorts of miles to come and see for themselves and to worship the boy Jesus when he was at least a few months old, possibly up to 2 years old. From this account, the Christmas truth that we learn and that we'll focus on today is that Christmas is for everyone. Christmas is God's gift to the entire world. Christmas is for everyone. Everyone is invited, and everyone can participate. There are a number of misconceptions about the Magi. We touched on that a little bit last Sunday in the sermon and more so in the Bible class as we studied some different Christmas hymns last week. Many manger scenes, like the one in our church, include the Magi as a part of the larger scene. That's perfectly fine, but sometimes people draw from that the misconception that they also arrived on Christmas night. The fact is they didn't come for at least a few months later, possibly even longer. We're familiar with the hymn, "We Three Kings of Orient Are," but the fact is the Magi were not kings. If anything, they were servants of kings, and we have no idea if there were three of them. All we know is that there were more than one. That's all we can say for sure. Chances are they were from Babylon. Yes, they came from the East, but probably not from the Orient. Chances are they were from Babylon, which is ironic because the Babylonians had been quite an enemy of God's people in ancient Israel. In 586 BC, it was the Babylonians who took the nation of Judah captive. But during that captivity, the king of Babylon put an Israelite, the Old Testament believer Daniel, in charge of this group called the Magi, this group that were astrologers and astronomers and advisors. And so chances are Daniel informed the Magi about the God of Israel and the promises that this God would send a savior for all people. They probably knew about the prophecy that a star would come out of Jacob. And so when they saw that miraculous star in the sky, these Magi generations later knew what it was about. And some of them followed the star to Judea to see the newborn king of the Jews. When the Magi arrived in Judea, they naturally went to Jerusalem. That's where the temple was located. That's where King Herod's palace was. They came to him innocently enough, probably hoping to get information, but instead things were turned around. They provided the details. Herod wasn't aware of this newborn king of the Jews, but he sure was interested once he learned about him. Last Sunday in worship, we remembered the holy innocents, those little babies who were killed by order of Herod as he vainly tried to kill the little boy Jesus. But we also learned that that brutality was nothing new for Herod. That's why Matthew says in verse 3 of today's gospel, "When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him." Herod was disturbed because he feared a threat to his throne. The rest of Jerusalem was disturbed because they feared Herod's overreaction to the news. So Herod summarized some of the religious brains of Jerusalem to come to his palace and inform him what the Old Testament had to say about the Messiah's birthplace. And it did have something to say. The prophet Micah, specifically in chapter 5, stated that a ruler would come out of Bethlehem. Micah even stated which Bethlehem it would be, since there was the Bethlehem in the land of Judah, and then there was another Bethlehem much farther north in the Holy Land. Micah stated that it was Bethlehem of Judea, a two-hour journey from Jerusalem. Herod got his answer, but so did the Magi. And with their information, they made that two-hour journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem Ephrathah to worship and visit the little boy Jesus. I suppose in some ways, Epiphany is kind of a downer, of a letdown holiday. Christmas is done with for the most part. Vacations are over. Regular routines start tomorrow. School starts up again for the kids tomorrow. Everything goes back to normal and the holiday is over. And so maybe it seems like Epiphany is just kind of the church's way to say, okay, folks, we're done now. But for people living at this time, the facts of Epiphany were quite a big deal. Remember that for years and years, for centuries and centuries, God made a promise that he was going to send a Savior into this world who would redeem the world from sin. But to whom did God make that promise? He made that promise to the nation of Israel, to Abraham and his descendants, the Jews, the nation of the Israelites. The problem, though, was that the Jews often misunderstood that promise. They forgot the aspect that the Savior was for all people. They kind of thought that the Savior was just from them. Now, to us, that seems obvious. Yes, the Savior came to and through the Jews, but the Savior came for all people. That seems obvious to us. But it seemed more like a novel idea then, even though it shouldn't have been. But that's why Epiphany is such an important event. God himself, through that miraculous star, led these magi to come and see and visit and worship the little boy Jesus, the little boy that was not an inclusive Savior for one group of people, but who wasn't an exclusive Savior for one group of people, but who was an inclusive Savior who invited all people to be a part of his kingdom. God himself was declaring that Christmas is for everyone. Everyone is invited. Now, today that doesn't surprise us too much. We realize that God's Christmas gift is for everyone. But maybe the thing that takes us aback a little bit is the idea that we individually, each one of us, is a part of that everyone. Christmas is for everyone. Everyone is invited. And that means you as an individual are invited. But you might think to yourself, you know, Pastor, Christmas doesn't sound like it's for me. Pastor, you don't know my story. You don't know my background. There's a lot of things in my past that I'm ashamed of that I would just rather forget about, and people like me don't belong in God's eternal Christmas celebration in heaven. And technically, you'd be right. Sinners like you and like I and the entire world, none of us belong in God's eternal joy and peace of heaven, because sinful human beings cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. But our God has invited you to the manger, so that you can see how his only son took up your sin and went from the manger to the cross, where he paid for your sin so that you might receive true forgiveness and heavenly righteousness. You might think to yourself, well, Christmas can't be for poor little old insignificant me. I'm not a noteworthy person. I'm not on anybody's radar or map. I'm not a person of significance. I have a hard time paying the bills. I'm a simple, poor little person. Why should Christmas be for me? But our God has invited you to the manger, to see the great heavenly riches that he gives you through faith in that simple, poor little boy, his son, that he sent to be your Savior. Or you might think, well, Christmas just isn't for me. I'm not the kind of person that hangs around religious people. My friends and my family, there's not a lot of Christians among them, and I kind of stick out. I don't quite fit in. I just don't think that Christmas is, that God's gift of Christmas really is truly meant for me. But God has also invited you to the manger to see how he adopted you into his family when he brought you to faith. And that adoption assures you of his no strings attached, unending fatherly love and care. Age doesn't matter. Ethnicity doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter. Social status doesn't matter. Economic status doesn't matter. None of these things matter, because Christmas is literally for everyone. And everyone, including each one of you, everyone is invited. Matthew goes on in the second portion of the Epiphany account to give us the details of what happened when the Magi visited the boy Jesus. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Many Bible scholars have tried to find symbolic significance in the gifts that the Magi gave to the little boy Jesus. Some have said that gold was a symbol of his kingly status, and that incense, frankincense, was a symbol of his divinity, the fact that he was God, because then and even now sometimes in Christian worship, incense is burned as a symbol of our prayers to the throne of God. And myrrh was thought to be by some a symbol of his humanity, because back then myrrh might have been mixed with wine to create a painkiller, much like what was offered to Jesus when he was crucified. Or myrrh was used to embalm the bodies of people who had died. Perhaps Jesus' followers did that after his death. So myrrh is thought to be an emphasis of his humanity. That's all very interesting. Many scholars speculate on those points. It's a popular opinion. I just don't know if we can objectively say that that's exactly what the wise men had in mind when they presented these gifts. Here is what we can say for sure. These were not white elephant gifts. These were not the cheesy things that you exchange with people at your goofy Christmas parties over the holidays. These were very, very precious, costly, expensive treasures that the Magi presented. This was an act of worship and devotion, and so was their body language. On coming to the house, they saw the child, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Just think about this. Picture this scene in your mind. Grown men from a foreign country knocking on Joseph and Mary's door, showing up with big-time gifts, and then bowing down to a little boy in diapers. This is not your everyday run-of-the-mill event. Perhaps they had fully left their pagan understanding of religion, and perhaps they had fully come to faith in Jesus as the Savior of the world. On the other hand, perhaps they only had a limited understanding of who Jesus was, and they hadn't totally shed their pagan religious ideas. We don't know for sure, but the Magi's actions do show us that God had used that star to lead them to at least somewhat understand who this little boy was, because this certainly was not the normal behavior you would have around an infant that you had not met before. No, this was behavior that was appropriate for the Son of God, promised by God in the Word of God. You receive an invitation to a New Year's Eve party, and you decide to spend New Year's Eve there and ring in the New Year with the people at the party. And it just so happens that the people at this gathering are your family members and all your close friends, people who are near and dear to you. And you spend the entire party sitting in the corner, eating pretzels and drinking water. That would be an unusual way to ring in the new year. Unless you're feeling ill, that would be a pretty sad way to participate in a party that could be a very joyous experience for you. What a shame to not participate and enjoy an event like that. Well, you have received an invitation, but it's not for a New Year's Eve party. It's for something much greater. It's a banquet. It's an eternal banquet that we call heaven. Christ himself has invited you. You have been invited, and through faith in him, you can now participate in this heavenly banquet of paradise. Jesus made it all possible. His sinless life provides you with the holiness that you need to enter into that eternal banquet. His death on the cross has removed in full the guilt of your sin. His resurrection from the dead assures you that through faith in him, you too shall rise and enter into that eternal banquet of heaven. So how will we celebrate this banquet to which we have been invited? How will we celebrate right now the fact that we can participate in this banquet and this feast? The story of Jesus' Epiphany invites us to participate in the celebration right now. And I don't mean attending Christmas and New Year's parties and social gatherings and services and concerts. I mean living the Christian life. Just as the wise men worshiped the little boy Jesus, we also gladly participate in worship, not because we must, but because here we come into the gospel that saves us, the gospel that feeds our faith, that strengthens us, that solidifies our resolve to worship God by our actions every day of our lives. Just as the Magi brought their gifts, we gladly bring our offerings, not because there's a budget to meet and a deficit to eliminate or a debt to pay down. No, but because those offerings help us to bring the message, the invitation of Christmas to more and more people, so that we extend the Christmas gospel through the ministry of our school, and that we support the spread of the gospel right here in our own backyard and around the world. We gladly talk about the Savior to the people who are close to us in our lives, not because we have some kind of evangelism quota to meet, but because Christmas is for everyone, and the gospel message that inspires our participation also invites others into the Christmas celebration that we already enjoy. We live every moment of our lives for Christ because Christmas is for everyone, and every one of us can joyfully participate right now. After the late service this morning, we are officially going to bring Christmas to a close here at St. Mark's because we're going to take down all the Christmas decorations in the church. And just as the sermon has taught us, you are all invited. Everyone is invited to help. But when we say Christmas is for everyone, we aren't talking about jobs around the church. Christmas is so much more than an invitation to get some work done around St. Mark's. Christmas is an invitation to heaven, and everyone is invited. And through faith in Jesus, everyone may participate. Jesus' death and resurrection, his birth and his life, these are the invitation to the Christmas celebration. They are your open door to heaven. Through faith in him, let's participate in God's Christmas celebration. Amen. Please turn to page 11 in this morning's service booklet, and we will join together to confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In this morning's prayer of the church, we will include a special prayer of intercession asking God's comfort on the family and friends of Pam McPike. She is a friend of the Cordova family, members of St. Mark's, and she is a mother who recently passed away after fighting cancer for some time. So we will remember the family of Pam McPike in today's service. We will follow the format for the prayer of the church that's indicated in the middle of page 11 in the service booklet. Let us pray. God of all light and power, you shine upon your creatures and eradicate all darkness that lies within them. Destroy the darkness that our sin has caused in our lives. Help us to shine in the light of your grace and truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of the Church, we thank and praise you for the ministers of the gospel who preach the unsearchable riches of your mercy. Strengthen all pastors and teachers of your word that they may boldly proclaim the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you protected the Magi from the schemes that King Herod had prepared for them and for the child Jesus. Protect all of your faithful people from tribulation and persecution. Be with those who are currently facing persecution, that they remain faithful to you even in the face of death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you desire that all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We pray that your gospel kingdom would continue to spread throughout the world, tear down walls of resistance and hostility to the gospel. Build up your church on the firm foundation of Christ's sacrifice and resurrection, that all the world may know the gospel truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we are unworthy of your love and forgiveness, yet you freely offer us these gifts on account of Christ's sacrifice for our sake. As we partake in Holy Communion today, assure us of these gifts, that we may receive them in repentance and faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, you sent your Son to defeat our enemies of sin and death. Bless the family and friends of Pam McPike with the comfort of the resurrection as they mourn her death following her battle against cancer. Direct the eyes of their faith to the empty tomb of your Son as the assurance that all who die in faith in Christ will rise to live with him forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, you daily strengthen and preserve your people. Be with those who are not able to be in worship because of their health. Comfort them with your word and spirit that they may see your great love and mercy for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please stand as we celebrate the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lived among us as a human being and revealed his glory as your only Son, full of grace and truth. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Yeah.
Blessed are you, O God Almighty, who through Jesus Christ, your eternal Word, created all things and made mankind in your own image. Blessed are you, O merciful Father, for when Adam sinned and lost your image, you did not forsake the people you had created. You sent your only begotten Son to take on human flesh through the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. As our substitute, he fulfilled all of your laws in our place and died the death we deserve because of our sin. Blessed are you, O God, our Savior, for you have gathered us here to remember Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. In this meal, you give us his true body and blood, which paid our debt to you and assures us of your forgiveness. For all of your undeserved love toward us, we give thanks and praise to your living and life-giving name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you. shed for you upon the cross for the remission of your sin. May this, your Savior's true body and true blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting with God. Go at peace with him. Your sins are forgiven.
Worship concludes on page 15 in the service booklet. Please stand. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Good morning again to all of you. Happy 11th day of Christmas. Happy Epiphany to you. Happy New Year to you. It's been about a year since I've seen most of you. Groan. I was expecting at least a groan for that. Gee whiz. Good to have you all in God's house this morning. Pleasure to worship with you. A warm welcome to the guests who joined us for worship today as well. We hope that we will have the opportunity to share God's word with you again in the future. A few announcements to highlight with you. Today is the first week of our new winter quarter of adult and teen Bible classes. You will find complete descriptions of our classes on page 17. There will be a class studying Jesus' death and resurrection in the gym. I will lead that class, and then over here in the church, John Larebold and Dave Matthews will be team teaching a class called Anniversary Reflections. This is a class that primarily looks at the book of Acts, which is just one of the books of the New Testament, but also records early church history for us, the first few decades of the church after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. That anniversary reflection study is also an opportunity for us to study a few other anniversary-related events and history-related events. That class was originally written for the 150th anniversary of our church body, which took place 15 years ago. And so there'll be a chance to study Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod history in this class, and also a chance to discuss St. Mark's history in the course of this class. So that class will be taught here in the church, and the teen class, as usual, is in the teen room upstairs behind the balcony. Speaking of the anniversary, if you take a look near the back of the service booklet on page 21, this is St. Mark's 50th anniversary year. And the first of our anniversary services is coming up quite quickly. In 2 Sundays, Pastor Nathan Pope, who served here in the late 70s, will be our guest preacher for our first of 3 anniversary services. Pastor Pope, in retirement, has taken up liturgical furnishings, stained glass, altar, pulpit-type woodwork and such. And some of you know he is responsible for all of the furnishings in the new chapel at Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota, and they are exquisite. Just does some absolutely fine work in that area. So he's going to actually help us investigate what it might take for us to get some stained glass in these windows on the side. So that's a double purpose for his visit. I'm not sure if we can make that reality, but he can certainly help us to look at what that might involve. And so we're looking forward to his visit as a part of that celebration. So mark that day on your calendar and plan to join us on that Sunday. It's coming up in just 2 weeks. Also in 2 weeks is the start of our next Bible information class. I'll be teaching that class in the Luther Room. If you're not familiar, you exit out that door of the church, you see the office building. The door to your right is the Luther Room. That class will be Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. Once we get started, a lot of the classes have sometimes moved to a different time based on the schedules of everybody involved. So we'll start the first few weeks Sundays at 6, and then if the group decides we want it at a different time on Sunday, a little earlier, whatever, a different day, we'll make it work with the total group agreement. But we're going to start Sunday nights at 6 o'clock in 2 weeks, so please be aware of that as well. Finally, as I alluded to in the sermon, Time to take down the decorations. I feel like we just put them up, but it's time to take them down. If you can come back after the late service around noon today, lots of hands make light work, and we'd appreciate your assistance as we undecorate for Christmas and move on to the Epiphany season. Those are the announcements for this week. As you're dismissed, the ushers are going to pass out the January church calendar. We don't have a newsletter during January, and so the way to get the calendar to you is to literally hand it to you rather than to mail it to you. Please be aware of that as you're dismissed as well. Have a great week. Please greet each other before you're dismissed. We'll see you in Bible class in a few minutes. Thanks.